Well, good morning. Quick question. Who has bought or had bought over the Christmas period or even just had before, because you're an early adopter, one of these smart speakers like Alexa or something like that, Google Home? No, we've no early adopters in the room. No, anybody? Oh, yeah, Natalie. Brilliant, Natalie and Brian. Anybody else? Okay, Andy, you're all, it's okay, it's all right. I'm not going to preach against it. It's totally okay. Okay, well, who has an iPhone that's got Siri on it? Okay, let's see if your phone's on. Hey, Siri. Here. Well, he's just waiting for me to tell him what to do. Anyway, we'll turn that off. I thought I would get that out of the way. But did you know that there was a big controversy about one of the Google smart speakers not so long ago? Massive controversy in America. Because this particular speaker, you know the way you can ask these questions, you see, you can say, I better not say it because I'm going to set my phone off because it's tuned to my voice, okay? So if I say, hey, your person's name, okay, it's going to start trying to answer me while I'm preaching, so I'm not going to do that. But you can say, well, I don't think there's an Alexa in here, so you can say, hey, Alexa, what's the weather going to be like today? And hopefully Alexa tells you what the weather's going to be like today. Or you can say, hey, Google, do you know, and have you ever seen some of the funny, if you're looking for a 30-minute bit of a giggle on YouTube, go onto YouTube and type in old people with smart speakers, right? It is really, really funny. I'm sorry to be insulting there, but it's hilarious. Okay. So anyway, you can ask these smart speakers all these different questions and they'll give you an answer. And they're searching for the answer on the internet. Well, actually, there was a massive, as I say, controversy because people started to say to these, say Google, hey Google, who is Jesus? And it wasn't able to answer. But the controversy came whenever they said, who is Buddha? Oh, Buddha is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, who is Muhammad? Oh, Muhammad is da-da-da. But whenever they asked, who is Jesus, there was silence. It wasn't able to answer the question. Now, Google got around it by saying, listen, we didn't want to cause offense because if you asked who Jesus was, they might find some websites that were saying some dodgy things about Jesus and we didn't want it being said and causing offense. Pretty spurious. Now, apparently, if you ask, I don't have any of the Google things like that, but if you ask, hey, Google, who is Jesus or who is Buddha, it says, religion can get a little bit complicated. And that's the answer that you now get. But who is Jesus? Isn't it amazing that it can cause such controversy? Isn't it amazing that it can be a question that even the biggest organizations in our world don't want to answer? That they're afraid to come near it? Isn't it amazing that it's such a poignant question? You see, if it was a simple question, if it was a question that didn't have any impact on our lives or any great big impact on the world, well then, it would be easy to answer. Do you know if we're saying, hey, nearly said it again, but it will set it off and it'll start talking to me. But hey, Google, who's David Beckham? He's this, that, and the other thing. Hey, Google, who's Jesus? You see, because the question about who Jesus is has massive ramifications. Massive ramifications for our world and for us as individuals. And this particular story that we've heard about and I would like us to read. So if you do have a Bible with you, if you don't, it's totally okay. I'm going to read it anyway. But Matthew chapter 16, verses 13, and a few of the verses following. And I'm just going to read the story or the account of this encounter that Jesus has with these disciples, guys who have been walking with him for a period of time. And he asks them this very same question. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, this is verse 13, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he's referring to himself. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And the story goes on and there's more conversation. But I want us to focus on this question. Who do you say that I am? And so in many ways, I want to ask you that question. I'm not going to ask you to individually answer it, but I want you to answer it for yourself. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus? Not just a way out there. To you, who is Jesus? Who is he? And we're going to examine that a little bit today. Who do you say Jesus is? Not what does the church say? So we've been singing about it. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the resurrection. I believe. And we've been making a lot of these statements about who we believe Jesus is. In fact, some of us have sung those words and meant the words that we were singing in that third song that we sang today. I will build my life upon this Jesus. I'll build my life upon him. Who do you say that he is, though? Who do you say that he is? Not what does this church say, or a church. Not what did my parents say, or what does the culture say. Not what do my friends say, or society says. What and who do you say that he is? You see, in my opinion, it's not enough just to skirt by and ignore it. Because the claims that Jesus made about himself and his message mean that if you get this wrong, it doesn't just have impact and ramifications for this life, but also for all of eternity. So you owe it to yourself. You owe it to anybody that you're influencing in your life to answer this question. Who do you say Jesus is? Well, I'm going to share with you just three things about who I say he is. And I wonder if you'll agree with me. So the first thing that I want to say is this, and it's really, really simple. Jesus is real. Okay? Jesus is real. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the person spoken about in the scriptures, was a real person. He actually existed. Now, we have a lot of myths and a lot of stories. We have a lot of fairy tales. We have a lot of things that have found their way into our movie world, into the books that we read. We have found a lot of these characters that may be spurious whether they existed or not. Well, I want to say this to you. Jesus Christ is not in that category. Jesus really existed. He really existed. And I'm not going to just shout that out loud for you so that you believe me more. And if there's any doubt, well, if I shout louder than you, then you're going to believe me. There is no credible historian who denies the existence that Jesus Christ of Nazareth actually lived. Okay, we're going to have a little look at that. You see, we find in the scriptures evidence of the existence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's all about him. But we find in those scriptures, you say, oh, but they're made by you. They're made by the Christians. That's kind of using your own propaganda to prove something that's true. Well, let me just say this very quickly, and I don't have time to get into it. And whenever at some stage we launch an Alpha course, there's a whole week on this that they unpack this about why we can trust the scriptures. But the scriptures, the Bible that we have today is, if not one of the, it is the most, I would say it's the most verifiable, able to stand upon literature that there exists from its era. So very, very quickly, there's a form called textual criticism that people use as to whether something is worthy of being classified as true and the same as the original from which it was written. And we have lots of different documents from this period of time from writers such as Socrates. We've got Josephus. We've got loads of other things from this period of time. And what they do is they measure the period of time between when these people actually existed and the writing was initially done and the manuscripts that they find. Obviously, they didn't have the printing press, so they relied on people writing again, writing it over. And so this is what happened in order to get all of these writings around. People wrote it down, passed it on, And so with these writings, the distance between when it actually was written originally and when we have found it from. Okay, so that distance there, the shorter the distance, the better. Okay, obviously. The shorter the distance, the better to prove its genuineness and its verifiability. I think I just made up a word, but there we are. You knew what I was saying. Okay, so you can write that down. Maybe it'll get accepted. Within that gap there, and then the amount of manuscripts that they have that all match and come together. All right, so you with me so far? All right. So whenever you look at the tables of literature that was released and in and around this time of the first century AD, the scriptures far outweigh all of the other writings that are in our libraries today that are totally not questioned, that are, yep, no, that's okay. Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's what it was originally written by thousands. Okay? And some people say, oh, people got the hold of the scriptures and they manipulated it and they rewrote it to make Jesus something out that he really wasn't. But if you have a look right across, and as I say, I don't have time to go into this morning, it would turn into a lecture rather than a quick preach. But whenever you look across the board, you see that there were manuscripts found in Asia. There are manuscripts found in Africa. There have been manuscripts found all over the place, and they all match. The matching of the manuscripts is in and around 99.5%. It's incredibly accurate, and that 0.5% doesn't change any meanings or important details. So it's really incredible. The scriptures that we have, the Bible, if you have it, I actually have mine in here, but the one that's written in here, that's recorded in here, the scriptures that we have are incredibly genuine and trustworthy. But even beyond the scriptures, there's so much evidence for the fact that Jesus really and truly existed. Outside the scriptures, there are people like the Roman historian Tacitus, who talks directly about Jesus. The Roman historian Suetonius, I can't really say these people's names. He talks directly and indirectly about him. And the first century Jewish historian Flavius Josephus says this. Here's a quote. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it is lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. Jesus really existed. He then goes on to talk about the crucifixion, and he was still a Jew. He never converted to Christianity, so he talked about the alleged resurrection. We'll deal with a lot of that stuff in the next Reach event that we have and we talk about in March. One scholar, a guy called Craig Bloomberg, says this, that if we only had non-biblical sources, so this isn't me relying on the Bible, non-biblical sources about who Jesus is, then this is what we would know. We would know that Jesus was a first third of the first century Jew, so he existed early in the first century AD, who lived in Israel, was born out of wedlock, whose ministry intersected with that of John the Baptist, who became a popular teacher and wonder worker, who gathered particularly close disciples to himself, five of whom are named, though some of the names are a bit garbled, who consistently taught perspectives on the law that ran afoul of the religious authorities' interpretations, who was believed to be the Messiah, who was eventually crucified under Pontius Pilate, Roman procurator in Judea, which enables us to narrow the date for that event to somewhere between AD 26 and 36, and who was allegedly seen by many of his followers as bodily resurrected from the dead instead of dying out. The movement of his followers continued to grow with each passing decade, and within a short period of time, people were singing hymns to him as if he were a god. So if we didn't have the New Testament, that's the stuff that we would know from all of the historical data. Jesus really existed. According to a man called Luke Johnson, who's a New Testament scholar at Emory University, he says this, even the most critical historian can confidently assert that a Jew named Jesus worked as a teacher and wonder worker in Palestine during the reign of Tiberius, was executed by crucifixion under the prefect Pontius Pilate, and continued to have followers after his death. And so we find right across the board, Jesus was real. Here's kind of the long and short of it. Jesus actually existed. He walked the roads. You can go to Israel. You can walk those roads, the same roads that he walked. You can go and see the site where it was most likely that he was crucified. You can see the different sites that it talks about and it's written about. He walked the roads. He actually existed. He was on this earth. He was coming to this scene of time. Isn't that pretty incredible? I want you to get your head around that. This is no fairy tale. This is no myth. This is not Hercules or Zeus or some. This is Jesus, a man who actually walked the earth. Jesus is real. That's the first thing. Jesus is real. The second thing I want to say is this. Jesus is radical. He's radical. Well, what do you mean? Well, some of the things that he said and did. were pretty radical. They were out of this world. They were pretty incredible. Okay, so Jesus existed, but some people would say that us Christians have hyped him up. You've made him out to be more than he thought he was. You've made him out to be more than he really was. You've made a big deal out of all of this. And so many ways and things could be pointed and said in regards to what we have done and what we have said as Christian people, that we have hyped him up, that we have made it more than it really was. And so my question is, really? Really? Let's have a look at it. Let's think about some of the things Jesus did. Some of the things that Jesus did. He healed the sick. There's an amazing story of Jesus healing a man full of leprosy. A man who, and remember these words were written, I keep going to grab my Bible, but it's on my iPad. But these stories were written while many of the people who witnessed these events were still alive. They were never questioned. They were never brought to task over, no, that's not true. And so in the Gospel of Luke, you have this man who is full of leprosy. And he comes to Jesus and he said, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. Leprosy was the worst disease of the day. It was debilitating. It was isolating. It was horrific, a disease to have. And yet Jesus says, I am willing. And the report is that he reached out and he touched him and he cleansed him. And this man went away totally whole, totally cleansed. Another story that many of us are familiar with is whenever four friends brought a paralyzed friend to a meeting in order to try and see Jesus. And they couldn't get in because the place was so packed. And so they did a dastardly thing, a terrible thing. They got up onto the roof and they cut a hole in the roof and they put him on down. Like, we celebrate that. Imagine that was your house. Right? I mean, you know, and listen, this would have been far and wide spread. Can you imagine if we were so packed out and somebody tried to get in and they had no other way to get in, but they burrowed through the ceiling and they got on through the ceiling and somebody did something incredible in here. It would go far and wide. It would go far and wide. And so here's this story that wasn't done away in secret, but it was done. And Jesus looks at this man. He says, your sins are forgiven. And there's this real controversy over, he can't forgive sins, but he can because he's the Son of God, and we'll get to that. But he looks at him and says, so that you know that I have authority to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk. And this guy who's been paralyzed, who'd been clambered up by his four friends onto this roof and brought down and lowered into this room, gets up and walks away. Jesus is radical. You think of blind Bartimaeus, who the crowd wanted to silence. Shush, shush, go away, don't be bothering him. And yet Jesus calls this guy who to everybody else was insignificant, and Jesus brings him and he heals him. And this man who had never seen sees. He did amazing miracles. He walked on water. Wow. He walked on water. He calmed storms. And the people that were with him were continually amazed. Who is this man? Who is this person that we are with? He raised the dead. He came across a young family, a widow who had lost her only son. In the middle of the funeral, in the middle of it happening, and Jesus comes and he brings life to that young boy. There's at least another two stories of Jesus raising the dead in the scriptures. He fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. And just to show that it wasn't by accident, later on he does it for 4,000 people. He did incredible, incredible things. He showed people kindness and compassion. He challenged the religious authorities of the day and so on and so on. If you want to know more, read the Bible. But not only did he do amazing things, he said incredible things. And particularly about himself. Here's some of the things that he said. And we could spend all day talking about this, but here's some of the things that he said. In John 6, verse 38, this is the words of Jesus. He says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Hang on a second. What are you saying, Jesus? I have come down from heaven. I existed before this. I have come down from heaven to do the will of my Father. In John 5, 16 to 18, listen to this, to what is said. He says, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, and Jewish leaders began to persecute him, in his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but listen to this, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Okay, so in this religious environment, they knew what he was saying. They knew what he was implying by the things that he was saying. He was implying he was equal with God. So not only has he come down from heaven, he's equal with God. Now, I don't know about you, no matter how special somebody is in your life, they start to make those sort of claims, you're going to start to think, something's not quite right here. But he says other things. Listen to this. John 8, 54 to 58. And Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him. And you have seen Abraham? Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds." Okay, so let me explain this a little bit. There's a couple of things happening here. Number one, he says he predates Abraham in this conversation. And they're going, "You're not even 50 years old, and you're saying you knew Abraham? Come on." Right? That's the first thing that they're getting really caught up with. It's like, and so we're seeing this picture. I've come down from heaven. He's claiming that he's existed way before I've come down from heaven. I'm equal with God. But here's the clincher. And a lot of people say, you see, Jesus never said he was God. Jesus, well, he did. Okay, in this instance, he absolutely did. Because he says to them, before Abraham was, I am. Now, you need to understand that's not poor English or poor grammar. Jesus is making a statement. And in fact, what those religious people of that day would have absolutely picked up is this. Jesus was using the divine name. You see, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses stood before the burning bush and he says to the Almighty God, he says, "Whom will I say has sent me? What's your name? Who should I say?" What does he say? He says, "I am who I am." And Jesus here says, "Before Abraham was, I am." It's why they wanted to stone him. It's why they wanted to kill him. Because he was claiming to be Yahweh. He was claiming to be God himself. Wow. Hopefully you agree with me. He was radical. Jesus was radical. Jesus claimed to be sent from heaven, equal with God, and in fact, God himself. Now, this is a problem for those who want to sort of relegate Jesus to a good teacher. Relegate Jesus to an influential man. Relegate Jesus to a prophet. Because Jesus didn't make it that easy. He left us with a very difficult choice that we have to make about who he is. Because as Bono says, hey, didn't think I would ever say that. As Bono says, he's either who he said he was or something much worse. A great son of our country, C.S. Lewis, he wrote this in regards of the conversation we're having. And he says, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a good or a great moral teacher, but don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing that we must not say," C.S. Lewis says. "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. Who do you say Jesus is? Was he real? Is he radical? And in being radical, is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? Finally, I believe Jesus is raised. And as much as we'll get into this much more next month and look at the resurrection and whether it really happened, I want to just finish with this thought today. Because as much as Jesus was crucified, we believe that he was raised from the dead 3 days later. It's why we celebrate Easter. It's why we have Resurrection Sunday. It's why we rejoice and celebrate. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, the Apostle Paul writes, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus is alive. He is alive. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." He lives. Jesus is alive today and continues to make a difference in our lives. We had a platform full of people. We have a room almost full of people who could say, "Jesus has made a difference in my life." A dead person doesn't make that difference. A dead person can inspire. A dead person can give us some noteworthy things to be able to follow. But Jesus has changed many of our lives. For many of us, we have found salvation. We have found that hope. We have found the breaking of addictions. We have found the setting free of chains and things that would have held us captive. We know that Jesus has done amazing things because he is alive. He is alive and well today. He is raised to sit at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He is alive today. He is not just some other dead religious ruler. You see, the reality is that in regards of Judaism and the founder of Judaism, well, Abraham, his grave can be visited in Hebron. In regards of Buddhism, well, Buddha, thousands of people visit where he is buried every year. Muhammad, well, we know that he died on June the 8th, 632, and his tomb is in Medina. But you go to Israel today, you go to Jerusalem, and you see that the tomb is empty. That Jesus isn't there. He is alive and making a difference in our lives. He saves, he forgives, he loves, he breaks the power of addiction, he rescues us, he restores us. He is God and he is alive. I'm going to quote an old song that often goes through my head. It's an old hymn, so some of you guys who love the hymns, you'll be, "Oh, let's be doing that one." Do you remember the one, "He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today"? Come on, you'll nearly be singing it with me. "He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart." You hold a wee bit for a minute. Yep, drummer's worst nightmare. "You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's made a difference." Do you know, I love this, and maybe this is just a little bit anecdotal, but I love it. Billy Graham was once asked, "How do you know you're saved?" He says, "Because I was there when it happened." One of the greatest proofs for Jesus being raised is the difference that he makes in our lives here and now, today, because of what happens. So in conclusion this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say that he is? You see, have you relegated them to be fairy tale, myth, something that, you know, it's just one of those stories. You know, unicorns are all a big thing at the minute, aren't they? You know, and every, all the wee girls are walking about with their unicorns on. Jesus is not in that category, folks. He's real. He is real. He actually walked the streets. He actually breathed the air. He is real. Historical Jesus absolutely existed. He's also radical. He said many incredible things. He did many incredible things that point to the fact that we have to make a massive decision about who we say he is. We can't leave it to, oh, he's just another good teacher. Oh, do you know what? We have a lot to learn from Jesus. Well, no, he makes a demand from the things that he says in regards of what we think and who we think he was. Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? Because if he's Lord, we must bow our knee and recognize him as such. And Jesus is raised. Do you say that he is the risen Christ? He is risen from the dead. He is alive today. He is speaking to me today. He wants to make a difference in my life today. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?